All right, who's ready for the word? I rushed through all that because I really want to get to the word because we spent a bit of time doing this, but I just think God's calling us to be an unshakable church. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Okay, cool. You're having to say, oh, there's Forge Men. They're not on this Saturday because of school holidays, so another 4 months time will be on, just so you know. Oh, the slides are everywhere today. That's probably my fault, to be honest. Being on holidays, I'm still in cruise ship mode. See? Unshakable. God wants us to be an unshakable church. Do you believe that? That's what we're talking about, that we want to be, have a strong conviction about what we believe and not be ashamed about it and not feel like, oh, gee, I don't want to step on any toes. Gee, I better be careful what I say. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see Jesus being cautious about bringing the message that he brought. He was just in your face and did it. And he mixed with sinners and he went to their place for dinner. So he loved them, but you can love them and still speak the truth.
Yes.
Oh, just making sure you're listening. You can love people and still speak the truth, right? We don't have to compromise so that we can be friends. Now, if the other side of the fence, the people don't want to compromise on what they believe and hence don't want to mix with you, well, that's their choice. But we still love them. Like, I've got a stepbrother that's gay, and I love him as a brother. But I don't agree with his choices in life, but... Oh, we have a mutual respect and understanding, and that can happen, you know. But you can still speak the truth, and I still do to him. He knows very firmly what I believe. I don't have to, what are the words, mollycoddle. I don't use that word for a while, or just, you know, be. I don't have to tiptoe and be cautious or don't offend. No, I'm proud of what I believe in, and I'm proud of my God, and I believe what the Word of God says. Amen.
Amen.
So in a world that's shaking. This series that I've been speaking, it's been quite spread out, so we've had a lot of speakers in between, but I'm going to remind you of what we've talked about. But in a world that's shaking, this series really calls us to build lives of unshakable faith, amen? Rooted in God, anchored in truth, and resilient through every storm. So it doesn't matter what comes at us, it doesn't matter what the world throws at us, that because we have an unshakable faith in God, nothing can deter what God wants to do in and through us. And so the first message that I shared was planted, not panicked. Who remembers that one? Maybe one or two people. Well, that's encouraging. Oh, my daughter does. So my daughter turned 16 yesterday. Give her a round of applause. You can see that I'm embarrassed. It's all right. We already embarrassed her enough at a restaurant party last night. Yeah, all right. You know when your kids get older, they don't let you even sit at the table anymore? Like, you know what I'm talking about? So she had all her friends at the table. We weren't allowed to sit there. We had to sit over here on the other side of the restaurant. Yeah. You can tell them deeply hurt.
Did they pay for their own table?
Yeah, that's what I went up to them after paying and I said, okay, now each of you owes me. And they didn't look really well after them. Anyway, planted, not panicked. When everything's shaking, we need to stay planted in God. Because when we're rooted in Him, we will remain unshaken. So it's all about our foundation and what's our firm foundation, and that's what the second message was about, having storm-proof faith, where we build our faith before the storm comes. How many of you know when the storm comes, oh God, help me? But we really need to be building that firm foundation so that when that time comes, we are firm and strong and not shaken. So when the winds blow and the waves crash, your life stands on the solid rock, and His name is Jesus. Amen. Today's message, the title of my message is, I Still Believe. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we can stand in a broken world and not be shaken, that we can be firm in what we believe, that we can speak the truth in love and still love the world but not be of it. And so God, speak to our hearts today and encourage us in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Two of the key scriptures I'm using today, we'll start with them and then we'll refer back to them as I go. But looking at the book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25. For I know, everyone say, I know.
I know.
Can we just like maybe shout at the phone? Sounds like they're a bit tired, a little bit of sleep. I don't know whether you just didn't get enough sleep last night. Maybe our knee bands need to shout a little louder. Let's not be shy, my islander friends. Everyone shout, I know.
I know.
Okay, let's be a bit more like that so I know you're alive and awake. For I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. That's something to shout about because we have a Redeemer who's alive. and he shall stand at last on the earth. And then Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, modern day translation, everything sucks. Can I say that in church? Everything's going bad. Everything's gone wrong that could go wrong. I'm having the worst day of my life. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Everyone shout, rejoice.
Rejoice.
I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. We'll talk about that later. And he will make me walk on my high heels. Not heels. Heels. I still believe. I don't know about you, but I still believe in a God who is a redeemer. See, we're living in a world that says seeing is believing. You know, if you show me it, then I'll believe it. But that's the total opposite of how God functions and works. See, faith flips that script completely. Faith says, even when I don't see it, I still believe it. Come on, if we let our doctrine and theology come down to the standard of the world, we've already lost. But we've got to believe that even when we don't see it, we know he's working. Even if we don't feel it, we know he's working. Faith says that, even when I don't see it, I still believe. So this message, if you're in the room today or you've tuned in online, and hello to our people that are online, this message is for the ones who have been praying and haven't seen the answer yet. Can anyone relate? My hand's up. For the one who's believing for breakthrough but still feels broken. For the ones who are clinging to hope as you walk through that valley, this is for you today. It's so good that you're here. Or if you're listening to this after the fact, we always post our messages on our website. And if you miss church, you can catch up and listen. So today, we're not praising God for the outcome, but we're praising him in spite of it. Because that's what we're called to do. Even when we don't see it, we just praise him anyway, because we praise our way through the valley towards our mountaintop. So like Job, who sat in ashes and he declared, I know my Redeemer lives. And like Habakkuk, who looked at an empty field and an empty barn and said, yet I will rejoice. We're praising God even though we might not have seen the breakthrough yet. Because we know in faith that the breakthrough is coming. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So here's my first point this morning. I've only got 20 and we'll be done by about midday. Is that all right?
Amen.
Nervous laughter. Okay. Faith isn't denial. It's defiance. You know, some people hurl criticism at the Christian church because it's like, oh, we're just in denial of what reality is, that we're just sticking our head in the sand or whatever. You know, again, there's that scripture in Job goes on from what we read, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, then Job arose, tore his robe. I won't do that today because I don't want you to be blinded, especially with this post-cruise body. And he shaved his head. And he fell to the ground, and he worshipped. And he said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's be honest. Job went through more in one chapter than most of us will probably experience in a lifetime. Do you agree? If you don't know the story, that's okay. Here's the story. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. He lost his health. He even lost the support of his wife and friends, so he lost his family. And yet, he worshipped God. Not because he was in denial about the pain. He actually tore his robe and shaved his head. And that was ancient symbols of deep mourning back in the day. That's what they would do. So Job didn't fake it. He was actually feeling it. He felt it. And his worship was an act of defiant faith. Defiant faith. See, defiant faith worships in the ashes. That's what defiant faith is. Worshipping after a breakthrough is super easy. When life is good, you've had a win, everything's going great, yeah, I'll worship God, no problem. In fact, in those times, sometimes we might even forget to, because everything's going so good, well, don't really need God right now, do I? Don't want you to be like that, but that's where we sometimes head without meaning to, because things are so great. See, that's throwing a punch back at the enemy when you have defiant faith. Yeah. It's saying, you can touch my body, but you can't touch my belief. You can steal my possessions, but you're not stealing my praise. You can knock me down, but I will not bow to despair. Notice in all of those, it's a choice, isn't it? We have to choose to respond in faith. The wind blows a candle, right? Have you ever seen a candle in the wind? And I don't mean the Elton John song, it's a nice song. But candle in the wind, you've seen it, and the flame flickers and blows, goes here, there, almost goes out, comes back. Well, the wind tries to blow it out, and the flame is leaning and flickering and it bends, yet somehow it keeps burning. That's what defiant faith looks like. You're not untouched by the storm. Storms of life come, but you're just still burning right in the middle of it. Job's body was broken. He was done. His heart was shattered, but the flame of belief kept burning within him. That's why he said, I know my Redeemer lives. See, my faith is not pretending that it's not hard. Let's get real just for a moment. Faith is not pretending that everything's fine. We wish everything was fine, but we're not in denial. We're not pretending. Faith is not putting on a fake smile and pretending you don't have questions. I think the days of church gone by, there was pressure to be like that. You know, come to church, have your smiles on, everything's great. How are you? Great, I'm good. Now, church needs to be a safe place where you can come, even in the midst of a storm, and you can ask questions, you can lean in on support, you can be encouraged. That's what church should be. Please don't come to church and pretend everything's okay, because that's fake. And God doesn't want us to live lives like that. He's made the church so that we can support one another in challenging seasons and times. So faith's not being fake, it's actually being real. Faith is saying, I'm in pain, but I'm still here. Faith is saying, I don't get it, but I won't give up. Faith is saying, I've lost a lot, but I haven't lost him. That's what faith is saying. So you can have questions and confidence. You can not know it all, but be firm in knowing that God's got you. You can cry and still believe. See, you can take your pain to the throne, not the pit. You have a choice when you're going through a difficult challenge or a difficult season. You can let the pain push you into bitterness, or you can let it push you into belief. See, Job ran to God, not from him. So the next time the storm hits you, or maybe you're in a storm right now, take your pain to the throne room, because he will carry your burdens. Don't take it to the pit of self-pity, addiction, isolation, bitterness, all those things, but take it to the throne room. Your God has got you, in Jesus' name. Here's our victory lesson out of this. Faith doesn't deny your pain. It actually defies your pain. So we're not saying you're going to be a Christian when you give your life to Jesus, and your life is now going to be perfect and never going to have a problem. I mean, we'd love that, wouldn't we? We'd love to never have a problem. Amen. All of us, every hand should be up in the room. Nobody likes problems. But the thing is, faith doesn't deny your problem or your pain, but it actually defies it. It says, in spite of, even though it's like this, yet I'm going to believe in Jesus. You need to just stay anchored and refuse to let go. Amen? All right, here's my second point. Though is not the end of the story. You can see that in this scripture, Habakkuk 3. We're going back there again. Though is not the end of the story. Though the fig tree may not blossom, though everything's terrible, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. See, there's no full stop there. Because then it moves on to a yet. Everybody say yet.
Yet.
Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Though is not the end of the story. See, this is one of the most defiant declarations of hope in all of Scripture. Habakkuk is not in a good place within his circumstances. He's got no fruit. He's got no harvest. He's got no livestock. He's got no visible evidence of breakthrough. So in modern terms, bring it into today's language, the business isn't growing and maybe it's even failing. The marriage isn't better yet. The healing hasn't come yet. The prayers feel unanswered. You ever feel like you're praying and your prayers are hitting the roof? And yet he rejoices despite the though. It's not a full stop. Imagine if your life was a sentence. Though is not a full stop. It's actually a comma. Because it's like, though, here's my circumstance. Here's reality. Here's what's going on. Yet, here's what I cling on to. Here's my faith. Here's what's true. It's not the ending. Though is not the ending. It's the setup for what God is about to do next. That's how sentence structure works. Any English teachers in here? That's how you sentence. You've got your comma, which is, here's how it is, comma, but, da 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 da, and then this is what it's like. It's not the ending, it's the setup. So, though I'm walking through this valley, although I haven't seen the answer yet, although the diagnosis is scary, yet my God is faithful. Amen? That's where our faith comes from. The comma tells the enemy, you haven't seen the end of this yet. God's not done with you yet. This isn't the end of the story. In fact, this is the propel into all that God has for you. Faith lives in the yet. That's what we hold on to. We don't camp in our though. We don't camp in our situation, the difficulties, the challenges, the stuff that's going on. We don't live there. We've talked about from the valley to the victory this year. And you don't camp in your valley. It's not where we stay, because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm walking through. There's movement. Even if it's baby steps, even if it's big steps, keep moving forward. And you walk through those difficult seasons, the though, to get to your yet, because God's not done with you yet. Though is the reality, but yet is the response to that reality. Habakkuk doesn't wait for the victory. He doesn't wait to rejoice. He rejoices in the middle of the drought. And that's not denial. That's where the world says, oh, he's just in denial. It's actually not denial. It's actually decision. Even though everything's coming against me, even though things look grim, yet I will hold on to and cling on to. The Lord knows the plans that he has for me. Plans for give me a future and a hope. Come on, my joy is not tied to my income. My hope is not based on outcomes. My peace is not held hostage by circumstances. We've got to declare our yet in the middle of our though. You might be in a though season. Stuff might be just going haywire in your world and really, you're really challenged right now. Though the report isn't good, though the future looks uncertain, though the door hasn't opened yet, don't stop there. Don't give up and don't quit. Let your spirit rise up, and this is where it's a spiritual battle. Because the enemy wants you to be suppressed. He wants you to quit in your low. But then when we stand up and rise up, and from the depths of our soul and our spirit, we scream, yet God is faithful. Man, it's a slap in the enemy's face. Because he wants you to fail. Let your spirit rise up and declare your yet. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will worship. Yet I will trust in the one who knitted me together in my mother's womb and created me dripping with purpose, because your yet is where God meets you. Your though is real, but your yet is actually prophetic. You're speaking prophetically in the midst of challenging situations. What you declare in the in-between determines what kind of life you're going to live. If you're going to camp in your though, well, your life is going to be miserable, depressing. Everything's going bad and you see no glimmer of hope because you're camped in and eyes are fixed on your low. But when you look at your yet, it's a comma, not a full stop. When you look at your yet, then you're prophetically declaring, even though it's like this, yet my God is faithful. Anyone can rejoice after breakthrough. It's so simple. But the victorious believer rejoices before the breakthrough, because they know the story isn't over yet. All right, is this okay this morning?
Yes.
Here's the next point that I want to bring. My Redeemer lives. This is what I wanted you to get excited about before. Yes. Now, Jesus is alive. Yes. We have a hope in glory, amen?
Hallelujah.
Job 19:25, this is where it was said, for I know that my Redeemer lives, coming from a man who lost it all. But he declares, my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. These are the words of a man who lost everything. His wealth, his health, his children, his status, his support, everything. If you feel like you've lost a lot lately, spare a moment to think about Job. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. Wow, so incredible. But something in Job refused to let go of hope. He didn't say, oh, I feel like my Redeemer lives, or gee, I hope he lives. No, what did he say? I know my Redeemer lives. I know that I know that I know. One of the latest little things, Melody, if you know, you know. IYKYK, isn't it? They put that on messages like if you know, like you're on the in, if you know, and if you don't, you're on the out, something like that. If you know, you know. Well, you know what? You all know that your Redeemer lives. And that's great news. And we want everyone to know that he is alive. See, this is the confession of the unshaken. It's not just a hopeful statement, but it's a declaration of war against despair. Job was scraping his sores with broken pottery. You can read about it in the book of Job. He was surrounded by friends who misunderstood him. Anyone feel like that sometimes? If you work in a secular workplace, you can probably relate. Job was sitting in ashes, but still he says, I know my Redeemer lives. That's defiant faith. That's unshakable confidence. That's the kind of faith and confidence people in Vineyard Christian Church, that's my heart, that you would have an unshakable faith, just like Job. Even when the storms of life come, when the challenges hit you, when you don't know what to do next, but God comes and breathes on your situation, because yet, my God, my Redeemer lives. That's the kind of belief that doesn't depend on visible results, but it actually depends on what's birthed in your heart, the foundation on which you stand. You see, the word Redeemer here, we're talking about Redeemer, it's a legal term, it's a picture of a courtroom. And in Hebrew, it's Goel, or I don't know if they say Joel, Goel, I'm not so good at Hebrew, G-O-E-L. And it refers to a kinsman redeemer. This is someone who steps in to pay your debt, to fight your case, to defend your name. This is why you never need to run around trying to defend yourself when something comes against you, because God will vindicate you. You've got to hold on to that and trust on that. And it may not look like it, but again, faith is believing in what you don't see. He is our kinsman redeemer. And he stands in the gap for us. So Job is essentially saying, even if nobody else comes to my defense, if nobody else comes, even if no one else believes me, even if it looks like I've lost everything, even if people are speaking against me and saying stuff that's not true that I can't control, my Redeemer will stand up for me in the end. Come on, that's worth it. Amen. Wow. You're excited about that. God stands up for you. You don't have to fight your battles because he's already won them for you. Amen?
Amen.
That's a bit better. That's a bit better. Speak what you know, not just what you feel. You may not feel victorious, and you may not feel healed. You may not feel hopeful. But what do you know? Let me tell you what you should know. Because if you read your word, this is what you know. My Redeemer lives. I know he's still working. I know he's still good. I know this isn't the end. God's not done with me yet. You've got to speak it, you've got to declare it, and you've got to worship from it. Because when you declare it, even in the dark, you are aligning your spirit with the unchanging, unmovable truth of God. And that's what we need to stand on. That is our firm foundation. When everything is stripped away, what you declare reveals what you believe. So declare it until your soul catches up. You might not feel like it, but you declare it anyway. David did. He declared before the Lord. Declare until your faith breaks through the fog. Yes. Declare until the atmosphere shifts in your home, your mind, your situation. You know you're an atmosphere carrier? I'm going to divulge for a minute. This isn't in my notes. But we all carry an atmosphere. Are you the kind of person that when you enter the room, everything lifts? everything shifts. You could walk into like a real dismal, dark place, but you walk in and everything.
Amen.
Yes.
Because you've got the Holy Spirit in you that refuses to bow to dark forces or whatever's going on in the room before you came in. And you are an atmosphere changer.
Amen.
That's what we're called to be. Don't be the person that walks in the room and everyone's depressed. No one's going to want to hang out with you. And I'm not looking at anyone because none of you like that. It's all the people that aren't here. No, not true, not true. But you are an atmosphere carrier. Be mindful of that. In a world that's so dark and lost, you know, do you have people asking you, why are you so happy all the time? I've often got a smile on my face. I tend to not frown too much. It takes more muscles to frown. Did you know that? But when you're smiling, you know, people will ask you, why are you always so happy, even when you're going through? And then I go, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about Jesus. He's made a difference in my life. You know, we're talking about being commissioned and sent out. What a great opportunity that is. Look for opportunities to do that. Let me tell you about my God. Do you know Jesus? I'll say yes or no, and then you carry on with the conversation. You know, it's not, some of you are a bit shy, I understand that. Particularly our Neva, I love you, our Neva friends. Maybe a little bit shy. At home you're not, but here. Because, oh, maybe my English isn't so good or whatever. But your English is better than you think. I talk to most of you and I think you're pretty good. But they're a bit shy because they're not sure if they're using the right words. And so they choose not to talk. Am I right? Yeah, I'm right. I'm getting nods over there. They choose not to say anything in the risk to avoid the risk of saying the wrong thing. But they are very good. Have a conversation with them. It helps them with their English when we have cuppers and stuff. Mingle and talk. But when everything is stripped away, what you declare reveals what you believe. Declare it until your soul catches up. I said that before. Declare it until your faith breaks through the fog. Declare it until the atmosphere shifts in your home, your mind, and your situation. Be an atmosphere carrier. Change the room every time you walk in. Let the enemy hear you say it. I still believe because my Redeemer lives.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. All right, here's the fourth thing, and we're moving quickly. I will rejoice anyway. Habakkuk 3:17-18. I won't read it again. We've read it a few times. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. See, these are not words of someone living in abundance. They are the words of someone standing in a season of emptiness. But I will rejoice anyway. Even though I have nothing in the barn. No blossoms, no fruit, no oil, no food, no sheep, no cattle. Yet I will rejoice anyway. Nothing but lack, but no, I will rejoice. This is almost, you could call this rebellious worship. Not that they're being a rebel in a bad way, they're being a rebel in a good way. I refuse to let my lack dictate to how I worship my God.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. This is the kind of praise that punches the devil in the face. And now I'm getting serious. I've got the gloves on and I'm ready to smash him. It says, I won't wait for breakthrough to bless him. I won't wait for the healing until I worship. I won't wait for circumstances to shift before I lift my song. I will praise my God all day long. This is worship that's not based on circumstance, but it's based on character. God hasn't changed, so my praise shouldn't change either. Imagine a child at Christmas with empty hands, and they didn't get what they hoped for Christmas. Everyone go, oh. But they run to their father like this, not for the gifts, but for just an embrace from him. That's the image of Habakkuk right here. I don't have the blessing, but I have the blesser. I don't see provision, but I still trust the provider. So I will rejoice anyway. See, praise, and we sing this in a song, praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound, the lyric says. Some people wait until they feel joy and then they'll rejoice. But can I say rejoicing is not a response to joy? It's actually the pathway to joy. I will rejoice is an act of the will. Sometimes you've got to praise your way out of the pit. Difficult times come. Hey, I'm not pretending everything's just great. We all have challenging seasons. I've got to praise our way through the challenge. I will rejoice is an act of your will. It's a choice. Sometimes you've got to praise your way through the circumstance, through life's most difficult challenges, out of the pit into the throne room. But we don't fake it. I'm not saying you fake it. We're not pretending that everything's perfect, but we lift our voice in defiant praise when we're in the hospital room, when we're in the silent seasons, when we're in the wilderness, when we're walking through the valley. That's when we lift up a shout of praise, because we may not feel like it, but man, our soul follows us to that place, and then we are more than overcomers in Jesus' name. When you rejoice in spite of loss, you remind hell that heaven still wins. Your rejoicing becomes a prophecy to your future, a weapon in your battle, and a sign to your soul that you still believe. So let your worship rise, not because of what you see or what you feel, but because of who he is. That's why we praise. It's remembering why we corporately gather to praise and worship. It's because he's amazing. He's wonderful. He died for you and for me so that we could be free from all the consequences that we deserve. Isn't that worth being excited for? Isn't that worth lifting up a shout of praise to Jesus for? Let your worship rise, not because of what you see or what you're in the midst of, but because of who he is. And my last point is this. Strength to stand. Habakkuk 3:19 again. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high hills. After all the pain, all the loss, all the disappointment, Habakkuk doesn't just survive and scrape through and, oh, I just made it. He stands. He walks. He climbs. This isn't just about getting by. It's not what I'm talking about. We're not, I think someone used the term, might have been you, Karen, limp-wristed. We're not supposed to just drag ourselves through and barely make it. No, nobody knows the trouble I've seen kind of praise. No, we are victorious because we are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers because Jesus has gone before us. He conquered hell and the grave. We are winners in life because of everything that Jesus has done for us. We don't have to just get by, but we can actually be victorious in life.
Hallelujah.
This imagery here is powerful when he talks about deer's feet. Deer's feet speak of agility. Have you ever seen a deer? It's not something we see much in Australia. But they're agile on their feet. They're quite stable. They're very confident. And even on dangerous, uneven ground, they walk like cliff faces. You know, those faces we don't like. We're like walking like this because it's the cliff. Whereas they're just like it's nothing else. So deer's feet speak of agility, stability, and confidence. High hills are not valleys of defeat, but they are places of vision, elevation, and victory. See, God doesn't just give you strength to endure the storm, and oh, so glad that's over, but he actually gives you feet to rise above it. Notice something here. This is supernatural strength. This strength is not generated. The Lord God is my strength. You don't just make it up. You don't have to find it in yourself. You don't have to fake it or force it, because it's there already. You just have to read God's word, because he strengthens the weary. That's his promise. He renews those who wait on him. He makes you stand when you feel like falling and failing. See, this is a picture of a battlefield. There's smoke in the air, you can see it. There's wounds on his body. I didn't want to make that too clear in case there were little kids in the room, but comrades falling all around about him because it's war. Yet one soldier stands like this. And he's not standing because he's the strongest. He's standing because he's empowered. That's what God does to us. Even in the midst of the battle where everyone should fall and fail, we can be that one person standing because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus has gone before us. He puts steel in your spine. I think you said that again. He puts peace in your mind. He puts power in your step. That's what God will do for you. See, your stand is a witness to many. Every time you keep standing in the middle of, in the middle of chemo, in the middle of job loss, in the middle of unanswered questions, health challenges, financial difficulties, in the midst of all of that, every time you keep standing, you're preaching a sermon without saying a word. Your stability becomes a testimony, because people are watching us. They watch you. Not in a weird, creepy way. You get what I mean? They're watching your life example. And when they see you still standing, even after one of life's most difficult seasons, they begin to believe that they can too. See, faith doesn't always stop the storm, but it gives you strength to stand in the middle of it. And the storm doesn't destroy you. The loss doesn't disqualify you. The silence doesn't have to steal your song, because you are still here, you are still standing, and you still believe. Amen? Let's bring this to a close. We've walked with Job. We've cried with Habakkuk. We've seen the storm. We've felt the silence, and we've wrestled with the questions. And yet, something remains. And what remains is a sound. Rob's going to turn the sound on now because someone's at the keyboard. That was a good segue to ask for the keyboard to return. A declaration is coming that defies the diagnosis. A praise that breaks through the pain. That's what's going to come forth this morning, right now. A praise that breaks through the pain, and a faith that says, I still believe. I want every person in this room to leave with your head held high, not because you're proud, but because you've had a revelation today that you are unshakable, not because of anything you've done, but because of everything he's done. We're going to be clinging on to and holding on to Jesus and saying and declaring, I still believe. You may not have the answer. You may not have the breakthrough yet, but you do have a choice. And today, like Job, like Habakkuk, you're going to choose to worship anyway. That's my encouragement to you. I can't make you, but you've got to choose in just a moment to stand and lift up your hands. I don't feel like lifting up my hands. Well, I dare you to do it. See what God does. Oh, I don't do that. I'm a bit more conservative. Well, okay, put your hands out here. Meet me halfway. Do something. Respond in just a moment. Because when the valley echoes with faith, the enemy is silenced. When you stand with hands raised, that's a defiant faith in the face of the enemy to say, you know what, you've had me all week. I've had the worst week. In fact, I've even walked into church feeling depressed. I don't even know why I'm here. But now, in an act of defiance against you, enemy, I'm going to stand, even if I don't feel like it, and I'm going to lift up my hands, and I'm going to praise God. Because he is worthy of all praise, of all honor, of all glory, because he's the one that's gone before us and has made us victorious in Jesus' name. So I want you to stand. I'm going to invite you to stand. And I am going to invite you to lift up your hands in whatever way you are able to. And if you want to use that as an excuse, just force yourself to do this anyway. Even if you've never done it in church, just do it anyway. Trust me. I'm going to speak this over you, and I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to impart something into you today, a boldness, a tenacity to declare that my Redeemer lives in the midst of my storm, and I'm going to defeat whatever's going on because Jesus has made that victory possible for me. So in Jesus' name, I declare that your faith is being forged in the fire right now. You will not bow to the pressure. You will not be crushed by the silence. You will not be defined by delay. But you are rising in a defiant hope, a defiant faith, a trust in Jesus at a whole nother level from this day forward. And I prophesy strength for your spirit, stability for your feet, clarity for your mind, and joy for your journey. My Redeemer lives. You will climb the high hills. You will walk in resurrection power. You will declare with boldness, say it with me, my Redeemer lives. Say it again, my Redeemer lives. Now say it with conviction, my Redeemer lives. And I still believe. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Give him praise. So in your face, enemy, what you thought was taking out the church has only made us stronger. We are now bolder more than ever to share about our faith. And this church is going to double in size very quickly because we are going to catch the fire that the importance of sharing the message of Jesus with an unbelieving community. And people are going to flock to the house of God because of their understanding and acknowledgement that they need Jesus. So empower your church, empower your people, empower each and every one of us, Lord, with boldness. Just as we prayed over the young people and the kids, boldness. I declare that over your church today, boldness to share the message of Christ, because we are all about saving souls and making disciples. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're going to see a shift over the next, I don't know, 6 to 12 months in how we do church. That doesn't mean we're going to flip it on its head and Titanic and we're all going to sink. It's not that. But Anita and I spent the last 5 days in Sydney. I am going to close it. I'm going to be wondering, can I sit? You can sit if you want to. We've spent the last 5 days in Sydney at a beautiful church in Sydney that I've never heard of until about April this year when we were at our national conference. And they're called the Movement Church. It's a pretty cool name. And it's filled with amazing people. And it's very multicultural. Kind of like us, we've got you guys here. But there was it was like Spot the Aussie. Like, because they're near a university. So there's a lot of Asian people, Filos, Indonesians, India, all these kind of people. Anyway, we just gleaned from them from 5 days. And we have a stronger conviction than ever that our job as pastors, we need to shift what our focus is. And rather than be, and I'm not saying we were this, but we kind of might have been a little bit an event-driven church where we run events and people come and they're great and then people go. We want to be, everything that we do needs to be with the goal in mind, saving souls, making disciples. Is that not what we exist for?
Amen.
It wasn't that Jesus' last command was should be our first priority. It was going to all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, making disciples. And so everything we do is going to be about saving souls and making disciples. So get ready. I hope you're ready to be used by God. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We're not going to be the church where people just come and sit and go home and then don't do anything across the week. We may lose some people because of the focus that we're going to bring. I don't know. Hopefully not. Hopefully we gain a whole heap more. Because the very heartbeat of God is to see souls saved and disciples made. And then when you make disciples, they help you make more souls, see more souls saved. And then those people can then be trained. And everyone will be equipped. Anita and I feel the burden and weight. It's not a burden as in it's a bad burden. It's a burden as in we need to equip the people. So we're going to be equipping you to do this. So are you ready?
Yes.
I hope you're ready. Keep praying for your church, for your pastors. And as we formulate this and bring it together, this isn't just going to be another program, not at all. This is the heartbeat of our church, to save souls and make disciples. You'll hear me say it probably every Sunday now. Save souls, make disciples. Every step we take, every decision we make. And it's not going to be because, oh, I need to tick a box and, okay, I've reached out to someone this week. It's actually going to turn into who we are. It's going to be in our DNA. It's going to be very natural. Amen?
Amen.
Who's nervous? Who's excited? Come on, we're ready for all that God has for Vineyard in moving forward. So, be blessed. Let's have some morning tea. Have some fellowship. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday, if not before. Different connect groups across the week, Bible studies and things. But school holidays, so I glossed over it quickly, but no Forge Men on Saturday. So we will start up again in 2 weeks' time from there. But be blessed. Have an awesome week. Thanks, everybody.